better. Trying to keep ya, trying to please ya. Spend a love with your cheap. Nah, I picture the fool that falls in love with you.
Oops, she's a gold.
Well,
just hope that she knows.
Ooh, I've got some news for you.
Ooh, I really hate your ass right now.
See you driving around town with the girl I love, and I'll like forget you. I just the change in my pocket wasn't enough. I'll like forget you and forget her too. Said if I was with ya, still be with ya. Well, that's a shame. And although that pain in my chest, I still wish you the best. If I forget you. Now baby, 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 why I wanna hurt me so bad?
So bad,
so bad,
so bad.
I tried to tell my mama, but she told me this is one for your dad. Yes, she did. And I'm like, why? Why? Why, baby? I love you.
We're the all-new Live 95 WRJM LP Coleman.
I'm afraid of Americans. I'm afraid of the world. I'm afraid I can't help it. I'm afraid I can't. I'm afraid of Americans. I'm afraid of the world. I'm afraid I can't help it.
You're listening to Coleman's Live 95, WRJMLP Coleman. It's now time for This Week Live, a public affairs program which airs each Monday from 4 until 6. This program focuses on activities taking place in the city of Coleman, within the state of Alabama, and across the branches of the federal government up in Washington. Information presented on this show comes from a variety of sources, and although the hosts have attempted to individually validate each story for its authenticity, you should also attempt to validate each story yourself. Opinions presented on this show may or may not be the opinion of the owners, management, or advertisers of this station. And now, here are your hosts for This Week Live, Melissa Silvey and Jay Fuller.
I'm afraid of Americans. I'm afraid of the world.
And a good Monday afternoon. This is Jay Fuller. Melissa will be along shortly. Welcome to This Week Live, the program all about national, local, and state issues. The big topic this week, I believe, is Obamacare. Been lots of conversation taking place about that. We hope to cover that with you today. And maybe even get your opinions on it. You can give us a call at 256-737-9951. The lines are open pretty much throughout the duration of the show. Over the weekend, the open enrollment period for the 2015 Obamacare, healthcare, whatever you want to call it, began. Of course, Blue Cross has already sent me a nice love letter informing me that I have a $25 a month premium increase over last year. If you want to go back to what we were paying before Obamacare began, that is in the neighborhood of about $100 over what I was paying originally. So I'm real excited about that. Why is it costing me more? I'd really like to know that. Is it bad plans? Higher deductible? I say humbug to just about all of that. I'm pretty much already paying what I feel like I should be paying and more. Are there good things about it? Yes. I mean, I'm pretty happy that people up to about age 26 can stay on their insurance, a little bit longer, their parents' insurance a little bit longer. I certainly like the fact that pre-existing conditions are now covered. You know, that, of course, was not covered before. These are good things, and because of that, my opinion is that the Republicans should not totally repeal the entire law and start over from scratch, but they should fix the things that are wrong with it. That is my story, and I'm sticking to it. Would like to hear.
So how much do you think it'll go up when the $5 million that Obama is going to offer amnesty to are also added to the rolls of Obamacare?
I have not given too much thought to that.
Because you know that illegals aren't allowed to be on Obamacare, but there have been...
I know that you did a little research into this recently, and it's not that easy just to walk in somewhere and ask for a card, is it? I mean, they want a little documentation. They want to know, you know, a little bit about who you are and, you know, what you've applied for and what you've been disapproved for and, you know, a little bit of your history. Do you...
I don't know.
Okay, well, anyway, going back to the whole history of Obamacare, the next thing to point out, and this is a pretty obvious thing, you know, the president lied flat out. You know, he made the comment that, and I always paraphrase it, you always get it, you know, correctly right on the nail on the head, but...
If you like your doctor, you can keep your doctor.
Yeah, and that didn't happen. Oh, and don't forget he said period at the end of it, yeah.
Period.
Yeah. Of course, that didn't go like it was supposed to, and you kind of have to wonder.
The lie of the year.
The lie of the decade.
Last year.
you kind of have to wonder, you know, was this something that, you know, he had intended to go correctly and it didn't go correctly, or did he know? And based on what's come out in the last couple of days, well, we already pretty much figured he knew, but.
Gruber.
Yeah. That's the big news of the last couple of days.
Apparently, Gruber said today that Obama was actually in the planning committee meetings when the deceit was brought up and talked about.
And then, of course, the other big news, you know, thank you, Nancy Pelosi. You have to pass the bill to know what's in the bill. Do we still know what's in the bill?
No.
I don't think so either. I'm going to turn it over to you for a moment because I don't feel like my voice is quite as loud as it should be. We'll come back to that in a second. I'll tell you what, we'll go ahead and take a quick break, bring you up to date on what's happening in the news, and we'll be back in just a moment. Your calls, welcome, 256-737-9951. You're listening to This Week Live on Coleman's Live 95.
In the ARN News Center, I'm Angie Norvell. Weather remains the top story for our state. Forecasters say lows could drop to the mid-20s as far south as the coast tonight. This cold blast following a line of storms that toppled trees and power lines in the southern part of the state in Washington County. The emergency manager there told the National Weather Service some residences were damaged and some roadways were blocked. Meanwhile, National Weather Service has sent some officials to Pike, Bullock, and Russell counties. They're going to determine whether tornadoes snapped trees and caused other damage in those areas. State officials say they've gained approval for nearly $10 million in projects aimed at restoring Alabama's coastline after the 2010 Deepwater Horizon explosion and oil spill. Governor Bentley says $9.6 million for four Alabama projects has been approved by the National Fish and Wildlife Foundation. Will address conservation needs to restore some of Alabama's natural resources. Good news in Lawrence County after two men from Phil Campbell spent a cold, wet night in the Bankhead National Forest after they got lost. I'm Angie Norvell. This is the Alabama Radio Network. The man convicted of killing a teenager at Birmingham's Railroad Park last year is sentenced to life in prison. Justin Jones charged with the death of Jermaine Walton. Prosecution says Jones fired a gun to prove he had street credibility as a member of the gang called the Trap Boys. Walton's mother says they told Jones in court they forgive him.
Disclosure. And I forgive him, you know, taking my son's life, but I have to, you know, move on. But he'll never be forgotten.
Jones to begin serving his sentence immediately. In Huntsville, two employees at Belk attempt to stop a shoplifter and are threatened with a knife. 24-year-old Kimberly Mitchell trying to leave the Parkway Place store without paying for items when two employees, a male and female, attempted to stop her outside the store. Police say Mitchell didn't threaten the employees with a knife. They subdued her and held her until she was placed under arrest by cops. She's charged with two counts of first-degree robbery. And according to the Weather Channel, climate, natural disasters, and the weather make Cherokee County one of the 50 worst counties in America to buy a house. I'm Angie Norvell. This is ARN. money news. On Wall Street, the Dow Jones Industrial Average finishing up today 19 points to close at 17,654. The NASDAQ Composite was down 17 points to close at 4671. S&P 500 up by a point to close at 2041. Workers at one copper plant in Alabama narrowly approving a plan to unionize. The National Labor Relations Board says 75 people voted to join the United Steelworkers at GD Copper USA plant in Pine Hill, but 74 voted against it. The vote to unionize came despite efforts by Governor Bentley to urge employees to vote no. Officials say those objections to the vote have been filed with the board, and that could trigger a hearing on the election. More U.S. schools could be getting faster internet speeds. The FCC wants to more than double funding for the nation's largest educational technology subsidy program called E-Rate. Americans would see their phone bills increase by 16 cents a month if approved by the FCC. I'm Angie Norvell. This is the Alabama Radio Network.
Hello, Coleman. My name is Jason Spiegel, and along with my co-host, Lenny Barnes, we want to extend a special invitation to join us each Tuesday and Thursday from 4 to 6 p.m. for Sports Talk Live.
Each Tuesday, we will announce the People's Bank Player of the Week, as well as discuss the past week top high school and college games.
Don't miss Thursdays when we welcome regular guest Greg Smith with OnlyBestBets.com at 4:25 p.m. and Greg Vosta with Campus Insider at 4:45 p.m.
Once again, please join us each Tuesday and Thursday from 4 until 6 for Sports Talk Live right here on 95.5 Live 95 WRJM, Coleman's Independent Radio.
Sports Talk Live is brought to you in part by our friends at People's Bank, who bring you Where's Moolah each and every week, as well as the Player of the Week, and our other fabulous sponsors, such as Cynthia Phillips, your Alpha Insurance Agent, AK Rentals, Cyber Broadband, Fuller Optical, Michael's Flowers and Gifts, Morton Buildings, Odin's Auto Glass, Scissors Salon, and Tommy Warhurst at the Warhurst Agency, your Farmers Insurance Agent.
This is Live 95. Coleman's Independent Radio. This is the music we love.
I can't hear it.
This is Live 95 Music. This is Live 95 Music. If you like this,
the forest, we should swim in the streams, we should laugh, we should cry, we should love, we should dream.
And this, and this, then this is your radio station, Live 95, Coleman's Independent Radio. You're listening to This Week Live, a public affairs program airing here on Live 95. This program focuses on activities taking place in the city of Coleman, within the state of Alabama, and across the branches of the federal government up in Washington. Information presented on this show comes from a variety of sources, and although the hosts have attempted to individually validate each story for its authenticity, you should also attempt to validate each story yourself. Opinions presented on this show may or may not be the opinions of the owners, management, or advertisers of this station.
He's right. It's a lot of work to actually get ready for this show. Spent an entire day watching news shows on Sundays.
And that's a new development.
Yeah, well, whatever. So speaking of the news shows on Sunday, the new Health and Human Services Secretary was on, I think it was Meet the Press. And I tell you, she's a huge improvement over Kathleen Sebelius.
Really?
Not that I'm supposed to be saying those kind of things, but, you know, she was so much, how do I say this, so much more full of life than Kathleen Sebelius was. She's a lot younger, seemed to have a lot stronger head on her shoulders. Of course, Chuck Todd was, you know, giving her a hard time, but she seemed to be holding up to him. I'm going to say she made a good impression, and she seemed to have her head on straight, and that is an improvement over who we had. Of course, there's still a lot of work to take place in order to counteract the lack of improvement that we have from our president, but that's neither here nor there. So this is the first year of the employer mandate, Melissa.
All right.
It's going to apply to businesses that have around 100 employees. Now, let's keep in mind that this is full-time employees as defined by 30 hours of work a week.
Wow.
Not 40, 30.
Wow.
And I guess we're still going to have to wait a little while to see how businesses react to that. I did not hear a stock tip or stock report on that news break we did just a moment ago. There might have been one. We were talking about some other things during the break. So
I wonder how many businesses have cut their employees' hours down to 29 per week because of that.
I would imagine quite a few of them. And speaking of, cutting things, I wish I could cut my health insurance, but that's apparently not an easy thing to do at 37 years old. Last time I went to the ER, I think I was like 14, so they're making a killing off of me.
Yes.
And I went back and I looked at my premiums. I'm going to tell everyone just what I had to pay and when. When I was 28, I had to pay $109 a month. And I was just giving. I mean, everyone at 28 lives forever, just about, it seems like.
Right.
29, it went to $117 a month. At 30, it went to $123 a month.
So, while you were doing this, did you calculate exactly how much you've paid into it?
I didn't. I did do a nice round figure, and it was somewhere in the neighborhood of about $32,000. But
how much have you used?
Like none of it. And it's tough because you go to like an urgent care visit and you submit your nice, I'm a Blue Cross Individual Blue, and I should state that before I got on Individual Blue, which was in 2009, I was 32, that was the first year they actually came out with individual insurance. You couldn't really even get Blue Cross prior to that unless you got it through another provider. And I had another provider from age 28 to 31. So when I was 29, like I said, I was $117 a month. At 30, I was $123 a month. At 31, there was a big jump, $189 a month. And that angered me, so I actually went out and shopped around. And that's when I discovered the Individual Blue. So at 32, this was in 2009, I dropped back down to $126 a month. At 33, $136 a month. 34, we're in 2011 now, $143 a month. 35, $153 a month. 36, $174 a month. This year, now that we're jumping on into Obamacare, it jumped from $174 a month to $241 a month. That is by far the biggest jump out of any of those years and is way out of line. And I also should disclose, they actually had me in a more expensive plan than that. I had to go in and shop around and get the plan that had the highest deductible to get my premium down to that amount.
So, do you know what you're covered for? Are you covered for pregnancy and gynecological checks and all of that stuff?
I don't even know what to say about that.
Well, apparently that's why
the premiums are so high.
That's why the premiums are so high, because single men need coverage for pregnancy and gynecological issues and that sort of thing.
Is that for anyone we might get pregnant, or how does that work?
Well, I mean, after you have got someone pregnant and decide to add them onto your insurance, then it gets more, right? Because you've got another person on your insurance. So then it's going to double then, right?
Or maybe two more people after that.
Two more people.
Well, that's neither here nor there. Well, actually, that's horrible. But
actually, I would like to see a breakdown of what your coverage consists of.
I can tell you, in general, it doesn't cover anything. I can't go to urgent care. I have to pay the full bill on that. Can't go to a doctor. I have to pay the full bill on that until I get in the neighborhood of around $2,000. Right. When I get to $2,000, then they'll start paying like 35% or something like that.
And how much do you pay per year for this?
Current rate is $241.08 a month. So take that and multiply it by 12. And while you're doing that on your calculator, I just got my rate for 2015. Woohoo! In fact, Blue Cross sent me a nice gift, some kind of coaster or something, and said, oh, by the way, your rate also is going up again. So now I'm going to be at $263.33.
So you're paying $2,892 a year, and you have to pay $2,000 for them to cover anything.
Yeah, or actually no, but you're right. I have to rack up $2,000 worth of payments before any of their coverage will kick in.
Yep.
And of course, according to the great and wonderful talking heads in Washington, you know, these are better plans, you know, because the plans we had before, they just didn't cover anything.
Greybird.
Now,
they didn't cover pregnancy for a single man.
We can't deny that a small increase is probably warranted. I mean, can you name anything in 2005 that costs the same as it does today? I mean, yeah, there has been inflation, although the government will tell you, no, there's no inflation. I mean, so I would expect a little increase, you know, would make a little bit of sense, but I still think that this is, you know, way too far.
Well, wouldn't it actually be deflation?
True.
Doesn't your dollar buy less?
You're correct, ma'am. So anyway, these premiums might be in line with deflation. I'm not sure. I haven't really done that kind of research, but I can tell you, you know, that the number of dollars have increased over the last 10 years of my coverage. The last 2 years, by far, have been a higher percentage than what was previous to that.
That is absolutely highway robbery.
That's nothing. Because the next statistic I'm going to give you, which came off of none other than a newly elected senator who was being interviewed on Fox News, Melissa, there was $50 billion in Medicare fraud last year.
Oh, is that all?
$50
billion. So if that Medicare fraud was removed from the equation, wouldn't the government be able to pay for insurance for everybody?
Well, let's just look at this another way. Let's say that I happen to be a small business owner. Oh, wait, I am.
Right.
And let's say that I had an administrative assistant who was, I don't know, siphoning away $50 billion a year from me, and I didn't know it. Yeah, I mean, my next line in my note was, yeah, I just can't even complete that thought, and you're over there bursting out of laughter. Yeah, I mean, what business could survive with even $500,000 being siphoned away?
The thing about that is the government takes in like $2 trillion in taxes per year, so $50 billion isn't really...
Yeah, you're not even scraping the surface.
But, I mean, that $2 trillion is supposed to pay for defense and roads and what else? Security.
Immigration.
So, I wonder, yeah. I'm going to have to Google it right now.
I feel like if we could just, and I have to think about what I say before I say it, because what I'm fixing to say doesn't make any sense, but I'm going to say it anyway. If we could just come up with a government department that all it did was track down and stomp out government waste.
I sign up.
There you go. But
I'm there, dude.
A government department that all it did was eliminate waste.
And you know they got bonuses for how much waste they actually eliminated.
If that is an idea.
$50 billion in waste, and you get a $500,000 bonus.
I was
that year.
Just thinking, we need an $800,000 conference to teach everyone how to eliminate government waste.
Right.
So we'd like your opinions on this.
And a $10,000 pizza party.
Signing bonus, that's right. 256-737-9951. We are here. We are welcome to your calls and your opinions. You're listening to This Week Live right here on Live 95. We'll take a quick break, and we'll be back in just a moment with more of This Week Live right here on Live 95. Coleman's Independent Radio.
$414 million.
Of what?
What's been on Medicaid here?
Heavy sigh.
Johnny's in America, no tricks at the wheel. No one needs anyone, they don't even just pretend. Johnny's in America. I'm afraid of Americans. I'm afraid of the world.
Hi, I'm Jay Fuller. You may remember hearing me on this frequency way back in the 90s when we were oldies, 95.5. Well, sooner or later, the good times and the great oldies went away, and WFMA started playing some good old country favorites. After a few years, though, that went away altogether. Well, now we're back, and we're the all-new Live 95, Coleman's independent radio station. We were granted a low-power FM license, and we're bringing a unique blend of music to Coleman for the very first time ever. Since launching the station back in April, we've had a tremendous response on our Facebook page. Search for Live 95 Coleman on Facebook, and you can join us there, too. We've also added several features like Sports Talk Live, which airs each Tuesday and Thursday at 4 p.m. with hosts Jason Spiegel and Ronnie Barnes. And we've added Friday Night Live, play-by-play, with hosts Tommy Warhurst and Jason Coretti. I also want to give a special thanks to the Baker family, Larry Baker, who first introduced me to radio back in the 90s, and Charles Baker and Baker Productions for the behind-the-scenes engineering here. We're not done yet. We'll become even more interactive with our listeners in the coming weeks, including giveaways from our Facebook page, as well as more local community involvement and the expansion of our music library, like it's not vast enough anyway. So thanks for listening to the all-new Live 95. Come check us out at www.live95coleman.com. Stream us on the TuneIn app if you can't get enough of the actual station. And if you're a new listener, welcome to the all-new Live 95. We're Coleman's independent radio.
The best songs from the best artists, like this. And this. Because I'm happy. Clap along if you feel like a room without a room. And this. I am the rain. You're listening to Live 95, Coleman's independent radio. Tell a friend. Spread the word.
Hello, Coleman. My name is Jason Spiegel, and along with my co-host, Ronnie Barnes, we want to extend a special invitation to join us each Tuesday and Thursday from 4 to 6 p.m. for Sports Talk Live.
Each Tuesday, we will announce the People's Bank Player of the Week, as well as discuss the past week top high school and college games.
Don't miss Thursdays when we welcome regular guest Greg Smith with OnlyBestBets.com at 4:25 p.m. and Greg Vosta with Campus Insider at 4:45 p.m.
Once again, please join us each Tuesday and Thursday from 4 until 6 for Sports Talk Live right here on 95.5 Live 95 WRJM, Coleman's independent radio.
Sports Talk Live is brought to you in part by our friends at People's Bank, who bring you Where's Moolah each and every week, as well as the Player of the Week, and our other fabulous sponsors, such as Cynthia Phillips, your Alpha Insurance agent, AK Rentals, Cyber Broadband, Fuller Optical, Michael's Flowers and Gifts, Morton Buildings, Odin's Auto Glass, Scissor Salon, and Tommy Warhurst at the Warhurst Agency, your Farmers Insurance agent.
In the ARN News Center, I'm Angie Norvell. Weather remains the top story for our state. Forecasters say lows could drop to the mid-20s as far south as the coast tonight. This cold blast following a line of storms that toppled trees and power lines in the southern part of the state in Washington County. The emergency manager there told the National Weather Service some residences were damaged and some roadways were blocked. Meanwhile, National Weather Service has sent some officials to Pike, Bullock, and Russell counties. They're going to determine whether tornadoes snapped trees and caused other damage in those areas. State officials say they've gained approval for nearly $10 million in projects aimed at restoring Alabama's coastline after the 2010 Deepwater Horizon explosion and oil spill. Governor Bentley says $9.6 million for four Alabama projects has been approved by the National Fish and Wildlife Foundation, will address conservation needs to restore some of Alabama's natural resources. Good news in Lawrence County after two men from Phil Campbell spent a cold, wet night in the Bankhead National Forest after they got lost. I'm Angie Norvell. This is the Alabama Radio Network. The man convicted of killing a teenager at Birmingham's Railroad Park last year is sentenced to life in prison. Justin Jones charged with the death of Jermaine Walton. Prosecution says Jones fired a gun to prove he had street credibility as a member of the gang called the Trap Boys. Walton's mother says they told Jones in court they forgive him.
Disclosure. And I forgive him, you know, taking my son's life, but I have to, you know, move on. But he'll never be forgotten.
Jones to begin serving his sentence immediately. In Huntsville, two employees at Belk attempt to stop a shoplifter and are threatened with a knife. 24-year-old Kimberly Mitchell trying to leave the Parkway Place store without paying for items when two employees, a male and female, attempted to stop her outside the store. Police say Mitchell then threatened the employees with a knife. They subdued her and held her until she was placed under arrest by cops. She's charged with two counts of first-degree robbery. And according to the Weather Channel, climate, natural disasters, and the weather make Cherokee County one of the 50 worst counties in America to buy a house. I'm Ian G. Norvell. This is ARN. News on Wall Street, the Dow Jones Industrial Average finishing up today 19 points to close at 17,654. The NASDAQ Composite was down 17 points to close at 4671. S&P 500 up by a point to close at 2041. Workers at one copper plant in Alabama narrowly approving a plan to unionize. The National Labor Relations Board says 75 people voted to join the United Steelworkers at GD Copper USA plant in Pine Hill, but 74 voted against it. The vote to unionize came despite efforts by Governor Bentley to urge employees to vote no. Officials say those objections to the vote have been filed with the board, and that could trigger a hearing on the election. More U.S. schools could be getting faster internet speeds. The FCC wants to more than double funding for the nation's largest educational technology subsidy program called E-Rate. Americans would see their phone bills increase by 16 cents a month if approved by the FCC. I'm Angie Norvell. This is the Alabama Radio Network.
You're listening to This Week Live, a public affairs program airing here on Live 95. This program focuses on activities taking place in the city of Cullman, within the state of Alabama, and across the branches of the federal government up in Washington. Information presented on this show comes from a variety of sources, and although the hosts have attempted to individually validate each story for its authenticity, you should also attempt to validate each story yourself. Opinions presented on this show may or may not be the opinions of the owners, management, or advertisers of this station.
E-Rate, that sounds like something I should get involved in.
So, I'm going to clarify, 416 billion was spent between the states and the federal government on Medicaid.
I'm speechless.
So $50 billion is like 15% of your budget goes to waste or fraud. 15% of your budget goes to fraud.
Medicare waste.
Yes. Isn't that what you said? $50 billion goes to fraud.
I did not realize I had a budget quite as large as you're giving me.
Well, Medicaid has...
Can I go buy about 25 mansions?
15% of your budget goes to fraud.
Wow.
And that seems to be all right.
Well, we'll come back to fraud in just a moment because I know that there's quite a bit of conversation that we can have on that. And join in the conversation with us, 256-737-9951. We welcome your calls because last week we had interviews to go along, and this week we're like, it's a long show. So let's turn just a little bit into stocks briefly. You heard the news report just a minute ago. They did cover stocks, but there was not a whole lot said about it. Not a lot happening on the stock market lately. It's been kind of flat, kind of going up, 16, 18, 20 points, going down 16, 18, 20 points.
Yeah, didn't everybody think that once the Republicans won the Senate, it would be like... 200,000 point increase in the stock market. Everybody'd be rich.
Well, the problem with that is everyone's already rich. If you played in the stock market and you signed on back during the Great Recession, depression. I mean, a lot of the stocks are already near their highs. And if you were scared to death and sat on the sidelines, then you missed quite a ride. Well, let's just talk about a few of the things that are coming in this week. They are expecting the G20 summit that happened over the weekend to influence stocks a little bit this week.
I have some stories to say about that.
Are you going to refer to the animals? Did you see any of the animals?
No.
Apparently the Australians gave a lot of the diplomats animals to play with, like koala bears and things, to calm them down.
Oh, I want to be a diplomat. Where do I sign up to be a diplomat?
And there are pictures of this on the internet. In fact, they actually have a picture of Obama smiling while holding a koala bear. I'm not making this up. You're looking at me like I'm making this up. I'm not making this up.
I hate him more now.
Today, Tyson Foods, which is a pretty large employer in this general area, they are reporting. Tomorrow, keep an eye on Home Depot. and Jack in the Box, which is kind of a fast food joint north of here. I know they've got some in Nashville and north of there.
Wow, I miss Jack in the Box.
Jack in the Box has a couple of other smaller subsidiaries as well, but they're a pretty dominant food player. Also, the pet store PetSmart reports tomorrow. On Wednesday, the people who make Green Mountain coffee, as well as, I can't say it, but it's the Christmas present that you asked me for, the little
Keurig.
Yes, that thing. That company reports on Wednesday, as well as Salesforce.com, which is a newer online, what they call a CRM, or customer relationship management software. Thursday, we have MobileEye, which is kind of a speculative stock. But it is also a car that basically is going to be able to drive itself. This is the software to make this happen now. I'm just waiting on Google to snap this one up. Some of the talking heads said just wait and watch Tesla snap this up. We'll see. Also reporting on Thursday is Best Buy. And then on Friday, to wrap up the week, the Foot Locker reports, the shoe sales place. Which is kind of being compared to Nike. Apparently Nike doing really well, too. So those are some of the stocks to watch this week that they think the trajectory of the market will sort of follow.
All right.
Now, you told me last week that I was going through my list too fast, so it's your turn to go over some things.
About the stock market?
We're done with that if you want to move on to something else.
Oh, I have...
If anybody wants to comment on any of those, you know, we could be reached at 256-737-9951.
I really have no knowledge of what's going on in the world right now, to be honest.
Well, there have been a lot of local news stories, so we can move right along to local, and we might just have a one-hour show today. Who knows? There's a lot of skepticism on some of these news reports that are coming out locally, and I say that because one of the joys of having social media and having online access is, let's say the newspaper generates a story, and the story is 5, 6, 7, 8 paragraphs long, and it covers bullet points and goes over, you know, informational things. And then the news story winds up being posted to Facebook. And then your 85 people who are not agreeing with the story post their comments below the news article.
Oh, and there are also internet hoaxes. I know somebody who just recently fell for the Macaulay Culkin death.
That was me. Yes, indeed. I was like, hey, look, he's dead. No, he's not.
No,
what?
He's not.
Not that I'm ever excited about anyone dying. But
I recommend if you read anything that might not be believable,
you might go out and Google it. A few times, yeah.
That's how, you know, when I read stuff and I'm like, yeah, I can't believe that's actually happening, I Google it and then I'm like, oh, yeah, that's actually happening.
Well, I'm not real happy about the Bill Cosby thing to myself. I mean, yeah, allegedly this has been accused. It's been accused before. It happened 30 years. Why are we dragging all this up again? I mean, the man's old. Let him relax in peace.
Mm-hmm.
That's my story, and I'm sticking to it. So our hospital locally won an award. I forget the actual name of the award, but the 85 comments that went along with the article kind of brought a lot of skepticism to that award. And just take that with a grain of salt, if you will. There's apparently a lot of people in this community who are not happy with the performance of the emergency room at our local hospital. In other news, apparently we don't have enough lodging in the town. I don't believe I've even told you this yet. There is a new motel going to be built on Highway 157 right behind the Best Western.
Oh, really?
It's going to be a La Quinta Inn.
And why do we need it?
Apparently there's not enough rooms now. There's only, what, 5 or 6 motel chains over there now with probably 800 rooms, would you say?
So are they building these to hold the people who are going to be building things in the city, and then
hurry up and get it built if they're going to do that, because the stuff's going on right now.
Yeah.
And they've already torn down the old Food World, and they're making lots of progress over that, over there. I noticed, and this is actually the next item up on my list, the new high school academic building opens this week. They're going to allow students to come in and enjoy the new library with the dual fireplaces. In the
You're joking.
Apparently it has a coffee bar in it.
You are joking.
Nope, not joking.
A coffee bar in the library?
Yep.
That is a really great idea because high schoolers never spill anything.
Hmm. Apparently it is a good idea because it got approved.
Wow.
I mean, I kind of go with that. I mean, you know, the students there already is going to give them the feeling of being in a little bit larger environment, you know, kind of like being at the college or something like that. I mean, have you...
My college doesn't have a coffee bar in the library. You know why? Because they don't want people to spill coffee on their books.
Well, I think the one that you just left probably has it now. You know, Wallace has built that new nursing facility, and it's got, like, a coffee bar and stuff in the
nursing building. Not in the library.
Yeah, maybe not in the library. In other news, apparently, this is another one of those items where, actually, the paper got quite a bit of flack for this. They published an article. I did not actually even read the article, but I read the ensuing comments on the article. The Fairview High School principal was put on paid leave this week. Hmm. Apparently, there was no reason given.
Google.
The article, in fact, might have actually said, the Fairview principal was put on paid leave this week, period.
I was looking at Obama holding a koala bear. Now I've got to Google Fairview principal leave.
Did you get a warm and fuzzy from looking at Obama hugging a koala bear?
No.
So a lot of the comments that were related to the article about the Fairview principal being put on paid leave is, hello, Coleman Times, can you not report an actual story? I mean, why are you just putting this one sentence out there saying that the Fairview principal was put on paid leave this week? Well, my thinking on that is, okay, they're reporting that something happened, and apparently that is all of the information that has been released on that. So had the Coleman Times not reported at least the information that they had, then they would not have gotten the word out that, quote, fact, the Fairview principal was put on paid leave, unquote. Now, we still don't know what happened, which leaves your 85 people posting to speculate on what happened. And I will not entertain everyone with that. I mean, you could literally spend an hour reading the comments and get absolutely nothing out of it.
Dr. Craig Ross cannot elaborate on the exact reason for Gambrill's leave or of absence.
And this is a repeat of something that literally happened about 2 years ago at Hansville High School. I mean, there was an administrator put on leave there, basically removed. No one ever, at least that I know of, found out what happened. And maybe that's the way they want it. I mean, maybe with privacy laws and things, maybe that's just how it needs to go down.
All right.
The last item on my list, you've heard me talking about this one. You know, a teacher.
Your local news list or your total list?
My total list.
Wow.
A teacher who teaches in Blount County at Appalachian High School was arrested. She had sex, and the article did not say allegedly had sex. She had sex with three students over three different months. Now, apparently, when I looked into this a little bit deeper, she is one of like 25 different teachers within the state of Alabama that have been arrested for this over the last year. It's a fairly common occurrence.
25 in a year.
In the state of Alabama.
In the state.
Yes.
In a year.
Yes.
Wow. Hey, educators in Coleman, there are 25 open jobs in the state of Alabama.
That's a good way to look at that. 25 open jobs, and apparently they're not on suspension. Apparently they are available jobs. So I'll tell you what, this would probably be a great time to take another break, unless you'd like to introduce another topic.
Break's fine.
Break's fine. You want to discuss any of these topics, we'd love to hear from you. 256-737-9951. You're listening to This Week Live on Coleman's Live 95.
We're both nodding our heads.
Jimmy's in America, no tricks at the wheel.
I just have to point out real quick, you're listening to the absolute best radio station in the state of Alabama, and you know it's all Melissa's fault. And the best public affairs program in the city of Coleman, which is also all Melissa's fault.
This is Live 95, Coleman's Independent Radio. This is the music we love. This is Live 95 Music. This is Live 95 Music. If you like this,
the forests, we should swim in the streams, we should laugh, we should cry, we should love, we should dream.
And this, and this, then this is your radio station, Live 95, Coleman's Independent Radio.
Hello, Thelma. My name is Jason Spiegel, and along with my co-host, Ronnie Barnes, we want to extend a special invitation to join us each Tuesday and Thursday from 4 to 6 p.m. for Sports Talk Live.
Each Tuesday, we will announce the People's Bank Player of the Week, as well as discuss the past week top high school and college games.
Don't miss Thursdays when we welcome regular guest Greg Smith with OnlyBestBets.com at 4:25 p.m. and Greg Vosta with Campus Insider at 4:45 p.m.
Once again, please join us each Tuesday and Thursday from 4 until 6 for Sports Talk Live right here on 95.5 Live 95 WRJM, Coleman's Independent Radio.
Sports Talk Live is brought to you in part by our friends at People's Bank, who bring you Where's Moolah each and every week, as well as the Player of the Week, and our other fabulous sponsors, such as Cynthia Phillips, your Alpha Insurance Agent, AK Rentals, Cyber Broadband, Fuller Optical, Michael's Flowers and Gifts, Morton Buildings, Odin's Auto Glass, Scissor Salon, and Tommy Warhurst at the Warhurst Agency, your Farmers Insurance Agent. Hi, I'm Jay Fuller. You may remember hearing me on this frequency way back in the 90s when we were oldies, 95.5. Well, sooner or later, the good times and the great oldies went away, and WFMA started playing some good old country favorites. After a few years, though, that went away altogether. Well, now we're back, and we're the all-new Live 95, Coleman's independent radio station. We were granted a low-power FM license, and we're bringing a unique blend of music to Coleman for the very first time ever. Since launching the station back in April, we've had a tremendous response on our Facebook page. Search for Live 95 Coleman on Facebook, and you can join us there, too. We've also added several features like Sports Talk Live, which airs each Tuesday and Thursday at 4 p.m. with hosts Jason Spiegel and Ronnie Barnes. And we've added Friday Night Live, play-by-play, with hosts Tommy Warhurst and Jason Coretti. I also want to give a special thanks to the Baker family, Larry Baker, who first introduced me to radio back in the 90s, and Charles Baker and Baker Productions for the behind-the-scenes engineering here. We're not done yet. We'll become even more interactive with our listeners in the coming weeks, including giveaways from our Facebook page, as well as more local community involvement and the expansion of our music library. Like it's not vast enough anyway. So thanks for listening to the all-new Live 95. Come check us out at www.live95coleman.com. Stream us on the TuneIn app if you can't get enough of the actual station. And if you're a new listener, welcome to the all-new Live 95. We are Coleman's Independent Radio.
You're listening to This Week Live, a public affairs program airing here on Live 95. This program focuses on activities taking place in the city of Coleman, within the state of Alabama, and across the branches of the federal government up in Washington. Information presented on this show comes from a variety of sources, and although the hosts have attempted to individually validate each story for its authenticity, you should also attempt to validate each story yourself. Opinions presented on this show may or may not be the opinions of the owners, management, or advertisers of this station.
Welcome back to This Week Live. It's 4:50 on a Monday. Melissa Sylvie alongside Jay Fuller.
So, yeah, we might be cutting it short today if that's all you've got, unless we've got somebody who can call in and discuss some issues with us.
Yep, 256-737-9951.
I have a few issues on my list.
I can argue with you for an hour. Come on, let's go.
All right. Peter Kassig was beheaded over the weekend. He was a humanitarian working in Syria. He apparently had his own charity and was working in Syria and Lebanon.
That really upsetted me. I really did not want to get into that too much today, but I have to give the talking heads and the camera guys on TV some credit. They did not show the orange jumpsuit stuff this time around. They only showed some basically Facebook photos of the guy. The coverage, in my opinion, for being such a dire situation, was much better.
He is the third American to be beheaded by ISIS. And one of the stories that I read today, kind of a connecting story, was one of the, actually there were like 12 Syrian army people who were let out and beheaded alongside this American.
Yeah, I heard that. All on the same video.
All on the same video. And one of the guys, one of the ISIS guys who were leading out the prisoners to be beheaded was kind of, you know, they found it to be this one young man from Cardiff in Wales. And so his father came out and spoke about it and said that it looks like his son, he hasn't seen his sons, four sons, in over a year. Okay. And this looks like his son. And if it is his son, he believes his son should be beheaded.
That's horrible.
And he believes that it should be a head for a head. And if his son is doing this stuff, he doesn't want to have anything to do with him. He doesn't want him to come back to him. He doesn't ever want to see him again. And you know what? I think that's a bold statement from a father. If more fathers, more Muslim fathers acted like that, you know, maybe there would be less of this foolishness going on in the world.
You know, I just jumped over to the Coleman Times website to see if there was any news that was happening that I may have missed. Must be a slow news day. You know what I'm not done talking about that. The top topic is?
What?
Record cold possible tonight.
Wow. So, okay, the father says that he would no longer want to see his son's skin if they're doing that. The thing about it is, though, England is letting these people back in to their country. And what's even more shocking, so is the U.S. There are like 100 American citizens under watch by the FBI who have gone over to fight with ISIS and came back. And we welcome them in. I mean, if they're under watch, we know they've done it.
Yeah, we got a pretty good idea they've done it.
So if we know they've done it, why are we letting them back into our country?
You know, you mentioned that topic, and the other topic that we haven't really brought up on this show yet today is how Obama feels all freed now from the election, and he can do whatever he wants to do from executive powers and
right.
executive orders. The top of his list of which, of course, is immigration.
Right. So some of these kids are from immigrant families who won the diversity lottery, which was actually a program that was brought about by under Clinton. So these kids have won the diversity. Their parents have won the diversity lottery and moved here to the U.S., a lot of them. And then they are born here, get all of the possibilities of being a U.S. citizen, you know, free health care. And going back to that, do we remember the Boston bomber?
Which one? There were several.
There were the brothers who did yes. the bombing on the Boston Marathon.
Yes.
Same thing. They were both brought over here with the diversity lottery. Their parents moved here. So they were brought up here. The government gave them a house, gave them money to spend. That's what you get when you win the diversity lottery. You get everything that the taxpayers can give you, including, you know, free education, house, money, and the opportunity for the American dream.
Now, what is the situation with the house? I was pretty sure they were in campus housing when they were found.
No, they were given, their parents were given houses.
Hmm.
Housing.
How nice.
Given housing.
Like public housing?
Welfare.
Yeah, okay.
And, you know, what? Yeah, they were given, I think it was like $40,000 a year or something like that to just exist in the American country.
Hmm.
And so they go and set off a bomb. But a lot of these kids who are going over there to fight with ISIS, their parents are immigrants. They've came over here. They've enjoyed the American life. They go over there. They fight against America. You know what that's called? We have a term for that. You know what that's called?
What's that?
Treason.
Yeah, we do.
And we are allowing them back into our country without any penalties. They are not having any court hearings. They aren't having any military hearings. They're just like, oh, hey, come on back. We'll just watch you for a little while and make sure you're okay.
Yeah.
Committing treason.
How many of them are we going to be able to watch? What kind of manpower do we have? Do we able to? Obviously, we have the person of interest, you know, main supercomputer, you know, NSA, FBI, let's watch everything. But that obviously doesn't catch everything.
I also have a story about that. You want to hear it?
Sure.
Okay.
While you're looking that up, people, if you want to talk with us and communicate in these conversations with us, 256-737-9951. We'd love to hear from you. If we don't hear from you, we may be cutting the show off a little early today.
So you want to know how much money California cities have spent on surveillance in the past decade?
How much?
$65 million. Including stingrays to listen to their citizens' phones, phone calls, license plate readers, drones, and, of course, all of the cameras that you have around. $65 million in California alone just to survey their citizens.
Well, if you think about how much technology has changed over the last 10 years, I mean, that's still a pretty high number. But, I mean, a camera and a, you know, piece of electronics that you would have had today versus in 2004, I mean, that's a pretty big difference.
Well, how much do you, okay. How much do West Virginia spend for routers? How much do you think these companies are charging the government for these $10, $20, $30 cameras?
Yeah, it's horrible. But, you know, the one of the programs that I watched a couple of weeks ago that was featuring the women who were selling nuts and bolts to the Pentagon.
Oh, gosh.
And they had figured out a hole in the system, so they were able to sell them the
$90 bolts.
The 18 quantity of the 90-cent bolts, and then they tacked on $200,000 worth of shipping.
What a bargain.
And the Pentagon just stamped it paid, and off it went.
So I wonder how much they're charging for shipping for these cameras. But, I mean, why? So we're talking about watching our citizens, which, yeah, these 100 shouldn't be being watched. They should be in jail because it's called treason for a reason. And they should be, actually, they shouldn't even be here. They should be on Guantanamo Bay in Cuba. They shouldn't even be on American soil.
Well, we've talked about Medicare fraud. We've talked about fraud with the Pentagon and, you know, our troops. And that's money that, you know, she was robbing directly from the troops. There were two sisters. I forget exactly what state they were in. And the shocking part of all of that, you know, aside from just the fact of, you know, how much they were robbing the government blind, I guess that was the least shocking part of it, is that it was basically somebody had kicked an invoice out, or they had invoiced two of the same purchase order numbers or something, and that accidentally kicked it out of the system and allowed human eyes to review it, who actually caught the mistake. Had they not accidentally invoiced the same PO for two items, they would still be billing them that today, probably.
So have they paid back the taxpayers?
No, I think they got sent up state and, you know, arrested and all that good stuff.
And, you know, not only should they not be on American soil, what about these prisons that we've built over in Iraq that nobody's even going to step foot in? What do we have them over there for?
I guess all of that paperwork was started long before we ever, you know, decided, no, maybe we'll pull it. Of course, we're probably going back now, so.
Yeah, Tess and Obama keep sending more troops and more troops and more. You know what? Thank goodness we have a president who won the Nobel Peace Prize.
Oh, I'm so happy for that.
Because, you know, we wouldn't have all of these. I mean, we wouldn't have all of these wars if we had a Republican. What? He's a Democrat. You know, they're supposed to be for peace.
Yeah. You're listening to This Week Live on Coleman's Live 95. I guess we're going to break, and we're going to decide if we're going to continue this in the next hour or if we're going to call it a day. We'll let you know when we come back. You're listening to WRJMLP Coleman. I'm afraid of the world.
In the ARN News Center, I'm Angie Norvell. Weather remains the top story for our state. Forecasters say lows could drop to the mid-20s as far south as the coast tonight. This cold blast following a line of storms that toppled trees and power lines in the southern part of the state in Washington County. The emergency manager there told the National Weather Service some residences were damaged and some roadways were blocked. Meanwhile, National Weather Service has sent some officials to Pike, Bullock, and Russell counties. They're going to determine whether tornadoes snap trees and cause other damage in those areas. State officials say they've gained approval for nearly $10 million in projects aimed at restoring Alabama's coastline after the 2010 Deepwater Horizon explosion and oil spill. Governor Bentley says $9.6 million for four Alabama projects has been approved by the National Fish and Wildlife Foundation. Will address conservation needs to restore some of Alabama's natural resources. Good news in Lawrence County after two men from Phil Campbell spent a cold, wet night in the Bankhead National Forest after they got lost. I'm Angie Norvell. This is the Alabama Radio Network. The man convicted of killing a teenager at Birmingham's Railroad Park last year is sentenced to life in prison. Justin Jones charged with the death of Jermaine Walton. Prosecution says Jones fired a gun to prove he had street credibility as a member of the gang called the Trap Boys. Walton's mother says they told Jones in court they forgive him.
Disclosure. And I forgive him for, you know, taking my son's life, but I have to, you know, move on. But he'll never be forgotten.
Jones to begin serving his sentence immediately. In Huntsville, two employees at Belk attempt to stop a shoplifter and are threatened with a knife. 24-year-old Kimberly Mitchell trying to leave the Parkway Place store without paying for items when two employees, a male and female, attempted to stop her outside the store. Police say Mitchell then threatened the employees with a knife. They subdued her and held her until she was placed under arrest by cops. She's charged with two counts of first-degree robbery. And according to the Weather Channel, climate, natural disasters, and the weather make Cherokee County one of the 50 worst counties in America to buy a house. I'm Angie Norvell. This is ARN. News on Wall Street, the Dow Jones Industrial Average finishing up today 19 points to close at 17,654. The NASDAQ Composite was down 17 points to close at 4671. S&P 500 up by a point to close at 2041. Workers at one copper plant in Alabama narrowly approving a plan to unionize. The National Labor Relations Board says 75 people voted to join the United Steelworkers at GD Copper USA plant in Pine Hill, but 74 voted against it. The vote to unionize came despite efforts by Governor Bentley to urge employees to vote no. Officials say those objections to the vote have been filed with the board, and that could trigger a hearing on the election. More U.S. schools could be getting faster internet speeds. The FCC wants to more than double funding for the nation's largest educational technology subsidy program called E-Rate. Americans would see their phone bills increase by 16 cents a month if approved by the FCC. I'm Angie Norvell. This is the Alabama Radio Network.
Hello, Coleman. My name is Jason Spiegel, and along with my co-host, Lenny Barnes, we want to extend a special invitation to join us each Tuesday and Thursday from 4 to 6 p.m. for Sports Talk Live.
Each Tuesday, we will announce the People's Bank Player of the Week, as well as discuss the past week top high school and college games.
Don't miss Thursdays when we welcome regular guest Greg Smith with OnlyBestBets.com at 4:25 p.m. and Greg Vosta with Campus Insider at 4:45 p.m.
Once again, please join us each Tuesday and Thursday from 4 until 6 for Sports Talk Live right here on 95.5 Live 95 WRJM Cummins Independent Radio.
Sports Talk Live is brought to you in part by our friends at People's Bank, who bring you Where's Moolah each and every week, as well as the Player of the Week, and our other fabulous sponsors such as Cynthia Phillips, your Alpha Insurance Agent, AK Rentals, Cyber Broadband, Fuller Optical, Michael's Flowers and Gifts, Morton Buildings, Odin's Auto Glass, Scissor Salon, and Tommy Warhurst at the Warhurst Agency, your Farmers Insurance Agent.
This is Live 95, Coleman's Independent Radio. This is the music we love.
I can't hear it.
This is Live 95 Music. This is Live 95 Music. If you like this, and this, and this, then this is your radio station, Live 95, Coleman's Independent Radio. You're listening to This Week Live, a public affairs program airing here on Live 95. This program focuses on activities taking place in the city of Cullman, within the state of Alabama, and across the branches of the federal government up in Washington. Information presented on this show comes from a variety of sources, and although the hosts have attempted to individually validate each story for its authenticity, you should also attempt to validate each story yourself. Opinions presented on this show may or may not be the opinions of the owners, management, or advertisers of this station.
But they probably are.
So you want to talk about polling?
Polling it is. Yep, we're still here. We're going to keep going another hour, hopefully.
If we end early, you can take me to Ryan's for dinner.
Are you feeling that brave? I'm beginning to wonder.
That's the biggest joke of the day. So, three latest polls leave Democrats scratching their heads, wondering where it all went wrong. Although I can talk about what Harry Reid thinks went wrong. Okay.
Everything.
So, the latest Gallup poll, three separate polls, the following questions were asked. Do you approve or disapprove of the job Barack Obama is doing as president? 53% disapproved. 41% approved. So he's got a 41% approval rating. I guess he inched up a little bit.
Yeah, but that's a little higher than he was.
39%.
They must have polled two different people this time around.
Yeah. Who actually takes these polls?
Apparently answering machines that set on phone lines.
Do they call cell phones or landlines or... I wish they would call me. Hey, if you're a polling company, I'll give you my cell phone number.
Problem is, you would probably just talk to a robo-calling robot.
Email the station at live95coleman.com if you are a poller, because I would love to talk to you.
Actually, studio at live95coleman.com.
Isn't that what I said, studio?
No, you said station.
Station. Okay. Studio at live95coleman.com.
Thank you for accepting our call. Please give us 45 minutes of your time to answer these questions. Question number one, are you a Republican or a Democrat?
Republican.
That Click. Answer is unacceptable. Please enter your answer again.
Okay, so please say if you have a favorable or unfavorable opinion of the Democratic Party or
that answer is unacceptable. Please enter your answer again.
So, 42% are favorable of the Republican Party.
Well, you know, a big discussion that took place on the Sunday show.
36% are favorable of the Democratic Party.
Was basically talking about how wrong all of the polls were.
The 36% Democratic approval rating is the lowest ever in a Gallup poll and the first time since September 2011 that they trailed the Republicans.
Not surprising. But now I also heard that only like one-third of Americans voted in this election or something like that.
You know what? It was, what, 41% here in Alabama was that it? So that's more than one-third.
And I'm wondering how much of that was just spin anyway because they weren't happy with the results.
Maybe people just have given up because the Democrats just didn't show up.
Kind of like you gave up
on young people didn't show up. The black folk just didn't. I mean, they just didn't show up. The Latinos didn't show up.
Kind of like it looks like you gave up on drinking that strawberry Powerade over there.
So does that mean that they have given up in the support of the Democrat Party? Because that's what it seems like. 36% approve.
Well, you know, they would have said that, too, back in, what, 98 when Newt Gingrich was the speaker and we had a Democratic president and it was all reversed and, oh, they just gave up on everybody and blah, blah, blah. You know, it seems like it swings both ways, you know.
I thought everybody loved Clinton and I was the only person in the universe
who
didn't
worship
Clinton.
And, you know, we had good old times back in the 90s. You know, the economy was doing well. Seems like everybody had a job.
We could talk about this for an hour, too.
Oh, I'm sure
you know
we
could. How I feel about the 90s. Credit card revolution.
Put it on a
credit card.
Okay. Well,
well I'm not done.
Okay, go ahead.
Who do you want to have more influence over the direction the nation takes in the next year? Barack Obama or the Republicans in Congress? 53% say the Republicans in Congress. 36% say Barack Obama.
That would be the same 36% who seem to like the guy, right?
41%. So, the Democrats not only got their butts whooped, to quote Senator Joe Manchin from West Virginia, it was a big butt whooping, I believe is what he said.
I like the term shellacking better.
The Democrats are just no longer cool.
But, you know, we still have to wait, what is it, till January until they actually take office?
Right, and you know, I heard some of the radio people talking about how...
Radio people like us?
Yeah. You mean
professional radio people. Okay, I got you.
They voted in the Democrats for hope and change, but once hope and change didn't work, they voted in the Republicans to save them. And to quote Bill Clinton, it's the economy, stupid.
Wasn't just Bill, was it? It was Hillary, too, wasn't it? Oh, Hillary is the one saying that, what about businesses don't create jobs or something like that?
No, I mean, that's what Bill Clinton said when he was winning, that he was winning on the economy, and that's what the Americans cared about was the economy.
But Hillary made that comment, too, you know, a couple of weeks ago, and then she walked back from it.
Oh, yeah, Hillary claimed that businesses do not create jobs.
Do you think that Hillary is any different than Bill?
Besides the fact that I don't think she'll be
the nominee,
you know,
not to be confused with the Romney, but
messing around in the Oval Office, I don't think she'd be doing that. Other than that, they're practically the same person.
How many male interns could she bring in? I don't know.
Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Yeah. So polling, since that's kind of the topic of conversation that we're on right now, they had mentioned over the weekend that the polling numbers were way off, and that's kind of been a trend, but they didn't really expose it until this time around. There were at least two, I think they mentioned three races, and I didn't jot any of this down because it wasn't of a lot of interest to me, but since we're talking polling, the polls totally blew off two or three of the races that were totally incorrect poll data. Two of them, I believe, were governor races, where they had projected, you know, one would win over the other.
So you mean what you're saying is they called people to ask who they would be voting for, and they said the Democrat, but the Republican actually won?
Yes, That's exactly what happened. So the data was totally incorrect in at least, you know, three of the races that they were trying to call and project. And this was ahead of time. This had nothing to do with exit polling. You know, these are the companies that do the polling weeks in advance, and there's a lot of them. I mean, every time you watch a news program, you know, 2 weeks, 4 weeks, 6 weeks before an election, there's a different poll. This is the poll that was, you know, presented this day, or this is the New York Times poll, or this is the something or other poll.
Right.
And they were talking about how it used to be before the polling, you know, and they were talking to some of the veteran reporters, and, you know, this is how we used to have to do things. And, you know, they would go out and talk about how they would watch the speakers, you know, the representatives of the people running for office would speak. And, you know, the audiences would react, and in some cases the audiences would be more energetic than others. And based on the interest and the attendance, they would get a pretty good idea of, you know, who was going to make it or who wasn't going to make it. Now they just go off polling data.
Right. So I said earlier, you know, that Obama seems to think that he can hear those who didn't vote.
Yeah.
And he still has a pen and a phone, and his agenda is still going to go through. Well, and the shellacking that the Democrats got, do you want to know who Harry Reid blames for that?
Who's that?
Obama. Harry Reid's aide-in-chief, I believe his name was David Crone, said matter-of-factly that Obama was the reason that that Democrats lost. And this is Harry Reid. This is like the number one Senate Democrat. And he is already turning on his number one Democrat president.
Well, you know, I turned on Harry Reid a long time ago because everything that I heard about him is that all the bills stopped with him and did not go past him.
Yeah, and everybody, all the liberals want to blame the House, the Republican House, the do-nothing House, and the Republicans passed bill after bill after bill after bill, and if Harry Reid didn't like them, off they went into oblivion.
Well, the next big thing coming up, I think, and unfortunately, this Congress is the one that has to deal with it. It's going to take place before the next Congress is sworn in, and that is the budget. You know, because if we don't get the budget taken care of, then the government will shut down.
So, you know, we've gone 6 years without a budget.
Well, it all depends on your version of events. You know, the House has always passed a budget. It's the Senate that never passes the budget.
So we've gone 6 years without a budget. Why do we need one now? Oh, because the Republicans are going to be in charge. So now we absolutely have to have a budget or, oh, it's the Republicans' fault.
Well, the way they solve this, and you know this, you know, every year they pass another continuing resolution, and I don't even understand how that's supposed to work, but basically it makes an accounting nightmare, I guess, for the Congressional Budget Office to figure out, you know, what's coming and going. But that's the next big hiccup, and allegedly it is, it's going to come up in December, I think, just before Christmas. New Congress doesn't really take office until January. And
so what are they going to do, shut down the government for the Republican? I mean, that would be a good way to stop a Republican-held Senate and House.
Well, you know,
if you don't pass a budget and shut down the government, how can the Republicans take over?
Some of the talking heads on the wonderful Sunday news shows made the statement that it doesn't matter who shuts down the government in Washington, if it's the president, if it's the Congress, if it's the House, if it's the Senate, the Republicans always take responsibility for shutting down the government.
Responsibility or fault?
Fault. They're always blamed. They're the ones who are always given the responsibility of shutting down the government, which I don't necessarily agree with, but hey, that's what they said. I think anybody in this country with just an ounce of sense that pays any attention to what's going on, and if you're listening to this program, hopefully you're one of those that pays a little attention to what's going on.
And wants to know what's going on.
You know, then you pay attention to what, you know, news is coming out and what's actually transpiring instead of just, and I hate to say it, but, you know, TV is not the best way to get your information anymore.
And you want to talk about Jonathan Gruber's comments about uninformed voters?
Well, we're coming up on a break, so we can do that after the break. But, you know, in talking about...
He wasn't that nice. He didn't call them uninformed.
Yeah. And talking about you know, the TV programs to watch. I mean, and most of us know this by now, but if you want any kind of, shall we say, conservative or Republican views, you're going to be watching Fox News. And if anything is going the way of the Democrats, the other stations will cover it. Otherwise, they will not. CNN, I personally feel like they're kind of on the fence. They're in the news business, and they tend to, you know, they'll cover both sides of the story.
So, okay, I am following this whole Twitter feed of Jonathan Gruber, who has been trending for the last, like, 80 days or something. I mean, literally, he's been trending for, like, a week. And, like, 50% of the tweets that I see are geared at CNN, why aren't you covering this story?
Well, I actually heard some coverage on this on one of the other Sunday news shows that I watch. I believe it was Fox, but it is an hour-long program dedicated to critiquing the entire news media. And the only station that broke any of Gruber's stuff at all was Fox News. And I believe they broke it a week ago today, if I remember correctly. Is that right?
Didn't I mention that? Didn't I mention Gruber last week?
But nobody else broke it until the Sunday news shows yesterday.
Right. So if you say that CNN is sitting on the fence, you would be incorrect.
Well, I would say in the majority of things, they're sitting on the fence.
Keep dreaming.
Keep hope alive. You're listening to This
That's
Week
my
Live.
Quote.
Yeah, but I just thought I'd throw it back at you. You're listening to This Week Live Public Affairs program here on Live 95. We're covering state, local, and for the most part, for the rest of this hour, national events. And we welcome you to join
international events.
Yeah, we welcome you to join the conversation. 256-737-9951. We'll be back in just a few moments.
Just pretend. I'm afraid of America.
Hello, Coleman. My name is Jason Spiegel, and along with my co-host, Ronnie Barnes, we want to extend a special invitation to join us each Tuesday and Thursday from 4 to 6 p.m. for Sports Talk Live.
Each Tuesday, we will announce the People's Bank Player of the Week, as well as discuss the past week top high school and college games.
Don't miss Thursdays when we welcome regular guest Greg Smith with OnlyBestBets.com at 4:25 p.m. and Greg Vosta with Campus Insider at 4:45 p.m.
Once again, please join us each Tuesday and Thursday from 4 until 6 for Sports Talk Live right here on 95.5 Live 95 WRJM, Cummins Independent Radio.
Sports Talk Live is brought to you in part by our friends at People's Bank, who bring you Where's Moolah each and every week, as well as the Player of the Week, and our other fabulous sponsors, such as Cynthia Phillips, your Alpha Insurance agent, AK Rentals, Cyber Broadband, Fuller Optical, Michael's Flowers and Gifts, Morton Buildings, Odin's Auto Glass, Scissor Salon, and Tommy Warhurst at the Warhurst Agency, your Farmers Insurance agent.
The best songs from the best artists, like this. And this.
Because I'm happy. Clap along if you feel like a room without a room.
And this.
I am the rain.
You're listening to Live 95, Coleman's Independent Radio. Tell a friend. Spread the word.
In the ARN News Center, I'm Angie Norvell. Weather remains the top story for our state. Forecasters say lows could drop to the mid-20s as far south as the coast tonight. This cold blast following a line of storms that toppled trees and power lines in the southern part of the state in Washington County. The emergency manager there told the National Weather Service some residences were damaged and some roadways were blocked. Meanwhile, National Weather Service has sent some officials to Pike, Bullock, and Russell counties. They're going to determine whether tornadoes snapped trees and caused other damage in those areas. State officials say they've gained approval for nearly $10 million in projects aimed at restoring Alabama's coastline after the 2010 Deepwater Horizon explosion and oil spill. Governor Bentley says $9.6 million for four Alabama projects has been approved by the National Fish and Wildlife Foundation, will address conservation needs to restore some of Alabama's natural resources. Good news in Lawrence County after two men from Phil Campbell spent a cold, wet night in the Bankhead National Forest after they got lost. I'm Angie Norvell. This is the Alabama Radio Network. The man convicted of killing a teenager at Birmingham's Railroad Park last year is sentenced to life in prison. Justin Jones charged with the death of Jarmaine Walton. Prosecution says Jones fired a gun to prove he had street credibility as a member of the gang called the Trap Boys. Walton's mother says they told Jones in court they forgive him.
Disclosure. Now, I forgive him, you know, taking my son's life, but I have to, you know, move on. But he'll never be forgotten.
Jones to begin serving his sentence immediately. In Huntsville, two employees at Belk attempt to stop a shoplifter and are threatened with a knife. 24-year-old Kimberly Mitchell trying to leave the Parkway Place store without paying for items when two employees, a male and female, attempted to stop her outside the store. Police say Mitchell then threatened the employees with a knife. They subdued her and held her until she was placed under arrest by cops. She's charged with two counts of first-degree robbery. And according to the Weather Channel, climate, natural disasters, and the weather make Cherokee County one of the 50 worst counties in America to buy a house. I'm Ian Gene Orfeld. This is ARN. In money news, on Wall Street, the Dow Jones Industrial Average finishing up today 19 points to close at 17,654. The NASDAQ Composite was down 17 points to close at 4671. S&P 500 up by a point to close at 2041. Workers at one copper plant in Alabama narrowly approving a plan to unionize. The National Labor Relations Board says 75 people voted to join the United Steelworkers at GD Copper USA plant in Pine Hill, but 74 voted against it. The vote to unionize came despite efforts by Governor Bentley to urge employees to vote no. Officials say those objections to the vote have been filed with the board, and that could trigger a hearing on the election. More U.S. schools could be getting faster internet speeds. The FCC wants to more than double funding for the nation's largest educational technology subsidy program called E-Rate. Americans would see their phone bills increase by 16 cents a month if approved by the FCC. I'm Ian G. Norvell. This is the Alabama Radio Network.
You're listening to This Week Live, a public affairs program airing here on Live 95. This program focuses on activities taking place in the city of Cullman, within the state of Alabama, and across the branches of the federal government up in Washington. Information presented on this show comes from a variety of sources, and although the hosts have attempted to individually validate each story for its authenticity, you should also attempt to validate each story yourself. Opinions presented on this show may or may not be the opinions of the owners, management, or advertisers of this station.
So, you know, Birmingham murder rate has
gone
down.
Yeah, I know everything.
this year we've only got 53 murders in Birmingham.
Only 53.
Only 53 homicides have been reported in the city as of November 10. Putting the city on pace for 62 for the year, compared to, gosh, I just pull it up, 63, I believe it was, last year. No, 67 last year, 78 the year before, 2012, 2011, 63, 2010, 64, so... You know, if it's on pace for 62 and that's what we get, it's actually going down.
Wow.
And, you know, one of my favorite shows...
I wouldn't call that a dramatic, like, right, lower in number, but, yeah.
One of my favorite shows
is the
First 48. You know, I always put it on and go to sleep, like, 10 minutes in.
Do they ever solve any of those within the First 48?
Some of them, when they're relatively easy, like when they find a video cover or video of the person actually doing it.
Did y'all hear that, listeners, how weird Melissa is? She turns on a murder show and goes to sleep.
I do. And so, you know, a lot of those First 48s are filmed
right in Birmingham. Yeah.
So, you know, maybe that's why they've cut back, and I think the newer ones are in Louisiana and New Orleans, maybe because, you know, the murder rate's going down. Yay. Let's hope.
Keep hope alive.
So, the other thing that we were going to talk about was...
Oh, we had a few other things.
Gruber.
Yeah.
That name is, you know, pretty...
Half an hour on that name.
Pretty familiar.
So anyone who happens to be scanning the radio dial and just came across the Gruber Show, would you explain to them what relevance this guy's name has?
Gruber. Gruber has become a verb. You know, Grubering is to hoodwink people with deception into believing in their political cause.
Wow.
Gruber is to lie to somebody. If you've lied to somebody, then you have grubered them. Mm. Actually, you know what? We could talk about him in terms of who's trying to get away from Gruber. Democrats.
I just remember, you know, Hillary Clinton coming on the TV and saying, "I don't know who that was." Immediately followed by news coverage of her in what?
That was Pelosi.
You are correct, ma'am.
I usually am.
Yep.
So, Pelosi, go ahead with your story.
Yeah, and then they showed footage of her in like 2010, you know, explaining what he was doing in great detail.
Yeah, so Ms. Nancy Pelosi said he didn't work for us. He never did any work for us. And
actually said, "I don't know who he is."
Yeah, and then they showed that she had quoted him in a speech, and she had quoted him on her website. And then when the journalist who brought that up actually brought that to her attention, she said, "Oh, I've never met the man. But I'm looking at a picture of him right here, a stock photo from May 12, 2009. Jonathan Gruber, professor of economics at the Massachusetts Institute of Technology."
I think I read that he got like, what, a $600,000 consulting check for being part of the team. He was not an employee of the team. He was an outside consultant.
"Participates in a Capitol Hill hearing on the overhaul of the healthcare system in Washington. He has actually been to the White House 20 times. A visitor of the White House 20 times. Jonathan Gruber doesn't ring a bell to Nancy Pelosi. Obama actually said that he hadn't heard about the Jonathan Gruber thing until he heard about it on the news. And at the G20, when he was questioned about it, he said he was just some guy. He never worked on the ACA. 20 visits to the White House for just some guy."
Now, I have an interesting story here that I just came across. We were talking about our city to the south, Birmingham. The city to the north, Huntsville, today, the mayor had what is considered to be the state of the town speech. And some of the topics that came out of that kind of interested me, so I'm going to read. Come back to you in just a minute. We'll read part of what he went over. "Huntsville apparently is taking the first steps in January to become, quote-unquote, a gigabit city, with high-speed fiber-optic internet service available to businesses and homes. The mayor said today the city will issue a request for proposals for a vendor to start the process. Part of making Huntsville a vibrant, globally connected community is looking for better connectivity," he said. "It's all about big data and speed. We need a telecommunications infrastructure that's bigger, faster, more reliable, and affordable." We had talked about maybe that we would get into net neutrality later, so I'll go back to your Gruber speech.
All right. So, way to interrupt there, Fuller. I think I'm going to use Fuller now as a verb on who interrupts. He who interrupts, Fullers. All right,
better than being called a Gruber.
So Nancy Pelosi says, "I don't know who he is. He didn't help write our bill." Translation: okay, technically I do know who he is, and I've even cited his work, but we're not buddies. She claimed that she'd never met him personally. And Obama claimed at the G20 that he was just some guy. Okay, so John Kerry actually said that Gruber was the guide. Gruber was our guide in the healthcare plan.
That's scary.
Yeah, and so Gruber actually stepped in it again when he said that seniors do a terrible job choosing their own health care plans. So does this guy have his foot in his mouth like 100% of the time or what?
So I'm reading some of the comments on this story that I read. Quote, this will be a very interesting story to follow. Funding it will be even more interesting. The Chattanooga cost for fiber was $330 million. Huntsville City revenue from all sources this year is expected to be around $370 million. This should fit comfortably in the budget.
Oh, okay. So, since you've totally ruined the Gruber thing for me.
No, keep going.
Let's go on to AT&T's Big Fat Lie. So do you remember, I believe that I talked about AT&T last week and this whole net neutrality thing, and AT&T had claimed that they're going to put a pause on their big fiber plans because of the net neutrality. Did I talk about that on Monday, or did we just bring that up in person?
I think we talked about that internally, yeah.
Okay. So AT&T had claimed that they had this big fiber project in 100 cities across the nation,
yep.
And they were putting it on hold because of the net neutrality issue.
And in fact, they had not even started construction in those 100 cities. It was just on the roadmap.
FCC called their bluff and asked for their plans for their big fiber plans and which cities they were going to do it in.
You know, should we go back?
So they were caught in a Gruber.
Should we go back?
They were trying to Gruber the public. They were Grubering.
Let's go back to when we had a great and wonderful company that covered the seven-state region known as Bell South. And one of the promises that was made when Bell South was bought up by AT&T.
Do you remember back when it was just Bell?
Yes.
When it was, and then they said that, ooh, there was a monopoly, and they had to break it up. And so then it was like,
now we've come full circle.
Yeah. Southern Bell and Northern Bell and Eastern, but it was all still Bell. I mean, who else controlled the phone companies?
Yeah, pretty much.
Who laid those wires in the ground? It wasn't the government.
No. And that's a very good point when you put it that way. Because the government doesn't have to do everything. You know, the government had nothing to do with Standard Oil.
Companies don't create jobs, Hillary Clinton says.
Who? What?
Companies don't create jobs,
Hillary
Clinton
says. That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. So back to the comments on this fiber thing here. This is from somebody who works for AL.com in the comments. Quote, trying to answer several questions here. First, I don't think this will be a city-funded and controlled deal. The mayor wants companies such as AT&T to present proposals to partner with Huntsville Utilities, which has the poles and connections at your house.
So didn't they already have the plans in the works? What? I mean, you would think
Huntsville would be one of
the 100 cities.
What you have to understand about what AT&T promises everyone, we'll do fiber to the home. We'll do fiber to the home. Well, what they actually do is bring fiber optic cable to these boxes that you see outside the subdivisions, and then it's still copper from there to the home. It is not fiber to the home.
Really? Our listeners might not know that.
Well, they know it now. Will it go outside Huntsville? Well, it depends on who prepares and who proposes a deal where they want to take it, I guess. Although the city is clearly focused on its own area now. Things get more interesting if no company comes forward with a proposal. Huntsville Utilities is already expanding its own fiber network for a variety of reasons, including security.
Ooh. Spying? You mean spying?
Could Huntsville Utilities end up providing this service? The utility does not want to become an internet service provider either, but the city thinks high-speed internet is vital to the city's economic future. So stay tuned to see where this goes. They'll wind up providing it.
Well, I mean, if AT&T won't do it, if companies aren't, you know, it used to be that companies really wanted to get in there and build stuff, but, I mean, now with regulations and net neutrality and this, that, and the other.
It had to have been done at one point. I mean, look back 100 years. Pretty much even today, if you build a house, you are required basically to be able to get phone service. The phone company cannot tell you no. Is that correct?
Not that I'm aware of.
I mean, pretty much anywhere that I've ever been has always had access to phone service. If not, they have to build it out to you. Same with electricity. If you build out in the middle of nowhere, they have to build out. Now, they can pass the cost on to you. Yes, we'll hook you up. It's $9,000, and it's going to cost you 27 poles. But they have to be able to provide it to you. That's part of being a regulated public utility.
Okay.
I could be wrong. If I'm wrong, let me know. 256-737-9951.
All right.
It's not the case with the cable company, because apparently they're not regulated like the phone company and the utility company is.
So what are the regulations on the phone company? I mean, what does the government actually put on them as a regulation? That?
Well, there are things such as universal services that go into the pot to help them to provide services to these people. That's part of what everyone pays their quote-unquote taxes and fees for.
$2.35.
Yeah, and that goes into a big pot. And if you cost $800,000 to build out that one road 26 miles, that's part of where the pot, you know, goes out to.
Well, I thought you just said they could actually charge the person.
They could. They do in many cases. The other thing that you have to look at for universal service is all the schools. So you have a school out in the middle of nowhere. For example, Harmony, which is out near the Jones Chapel, it is out in the middle of nowhere. But the government pretty much has mandated through a program called E-Rate, and you heard the lady on the news program talk about it, that there is money that comes out of your phone bill, part of universal service, that will get that school fiber optic cable run to it, even if it's 28 miles. So those students and faculty will have access to high-speed internet.
Fiber. Really?
Yep. Yes.
Huh. So you want to talk about net neutrality for a few minutes?
Well, I think we'll do that in just a moment. For now, let's go ahead and take a quick break. 256-737-9951. You're running out of time for this Monday's show to call in. We'd like to hear from you. You're listening to This Week Live on Live 95, Coleman's Independent Radio.
I'm hoping to get a little lesson on net neutrality because I really don't know a whole lot about it.
We'll sound like we do, one way or the other.
Jonas in America, no tricks at the wheel. No one needs anyone, they don't even just pretend. Jonas in America.
I'm afraid of Americans. I'm afraid of the world.
Hello, Coleman. My name is Jason Spiegel, and along with my co-host, Lenny Barnes, we want to extend a special invitation to join us each Tuesday and Thursday from 4 to 6 p.m. for Sports Talk Live.
Each Tuesday, we will announce the People's Bank Player of the Week, as well as discuss the past week top high school and college games.
Don't miss Thursdays when we welcome regular guest Greg Smith with OnlyBestBets.com at 4:25 p.m. and Greg Vosta with Campus Insider at 4:45 p.m.
Once again, please join us each Tuesday and Thursday from 4 until 6 for Sports Talk Live right here on 95.5 Live 95 WRJM, Coleman's Independent Radio.
Sports Talk Live is brought to you in part by our friends at People's Bank, who bring you Where's Moolah each and every week, as well as the Player of the Week, and our other fabulous sponsors, such as Cynthia Phillips, your Alpha Insurance Agent, AK Rentals, Cyber Broadband, Fuller Optical, Michael's Flowers and Gifts, Morton Buildings, Odin's Auto Glass, Scissors Salon, and Tommy Warhurst at the Warhurst Agency, your Farmers Insurance Agent.
You're listening to This Week Live, a public affairs program airing here on Live 95. This program focuses on activities taking place in the city of Cullman, within the state of Alabama, and across the branches of the federal government up in Washington. Information presented on this show comes from a variety of sources, and although the hosts have attempted to individually validate each story for its authenticity, you should also attempt to validate each story yourself. Opinions presented on this show may or may not be the opinions of the owners, management, or advertisers of this station.
So since we were talking about the G20 summit earlier and all of the diplomats carrying around koala bears, that makes me very jealous. I would like to just do a little tiny follow-up about one of my subjects from last week, Vladimir Putin. He actually arrived on a plane.
Is his middle name Gruber?
Might be. He arrived on a plane in Sydney, and you know what followed him to Australia? Four Russian warships. Parked right outside of Australian waters, in international waters.
Wow.
Four. And a little bit of a backstory about the reason why. The Australian Prime Minister said that he was going to give Putin a talking down about the plane that was shot down over Ukrainian airspace. You remember that?
My theory is that the ships were there to help locate MH370. That's my story, and I'm sticking to
it. Well, that wasn't why. That literally is not why they were there. The Australian Prime Minister said that he was going to give Putin a talking to about Ukraine and about the plane that was down in Ukraine, because 20-some-odd Australian citizens were actually killed on that plane. And so I believe that Putin just brought four warships with him just to be a strong man. And apparently when the Canadian Prime Minister shook Putin's hand, he basically told him to get out of the Ukraine. And that's my follow-up from last week's Putin story. And, you know, I'm sure that we can have a running segment every week on what Putin's done.
Probably so. Were we not talking about, you know, occasionally when Obama travels, doesn't he have some warships that are kind of in tow with him?
You know, I Googled that because I thought, well, maybe this isn't very unique.
Maybe it's just his answer to us.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Maybe that was his answer to the U.S. Maybe U.S. presidents travel all the time with warships. You know, they go to South America, they bring four or five warships with them. I just thought maybe that's what
sounds perfectly normal to me. Sounds like something that Hollywood would throw our way as part of, you know, some, I don't know, Secretary of State program or something.
When I Googled it to get a little bit of, you know, back history about it, I found that Obama's trip to India was so expensive because he took like 32 warships with him. And that was supposedly not true. That was supposedly an urban legend. But okay, so I don't know, you know, if anybody out there knows if the American president travels with warships. I would like to hear that.
I wouldn't think so, but I mean, I've seen some of these specials and things where literally, you know, his whole motorcade is loaded up and flown wherever, and you know.
Wasn't that why his trip to Africa was going to be so expensive? Because he, like, had some lodging built to his, I don't even remember. I mean, that was how many years and $400 million ago for that vacation?
Whenever they land, they have, you know, all these huge helicopters, all the military helicopters that drop off their limousines and their SUVs and, you know, the entire motorcade.
Wow. So, I'm not sure. Maybe presidents do travel with warships, but apparently Vladimir Putin does, too.
And my answer to you was, we'll just have to find out if they can put a warship on one of those big helicopters, right?
Right. So
maybe they figured out how to do that by now.
Another little short bit of information I had was a little bit about immigration, just a couple of snippets about it.
Oh, goody.
So, the newly reelected Maine governor cuts funding to cities and towns who give aid to illegal immigrants.
Who was that?
The newly elected Maine governor.
Okay.
Republican. Apparently, Portland city officials have frozen hiring and cut traveling and overtime spending. Apparently, they would rather continue to take care of illegals than to take care of their own employees and their own citizens. But the newly elected Maine governor is standing firm. Since July, he has not provided any state funds to Portland. So guess what, Portland? You're on your own.
We're talking about funds and different states getting different things. Going back to Obamacare a little bit, now we've completely gone full circle.
Oh, another one I wanted to talk about. Just a short snippet.
Sure.
Oregon, who voted to legalize marijuana, the liberal bastion that is Oregon, voted 66% to 34% against to disallow illegal immigrants to get licensed.
Well, that's a good thing.
So this is not a Republican versus liberal issue. This is basically Americans saying, no, we do not want this, liberal or Republican.
So here in the state of Alabama, most of the people that I have talked to, the premiums certainly went up. As a matter of fact...
Oh, yeah, I read about that. This one city in Maryland, I believe it was, or Massachusetts. Yeah, I believe it was Massachusetts. A little city in Massachusetts had decided they were going to ban sales of tobacco in their city. They were going to be a smoke-free city. And the public came out and booed and carried on, and they had to call the meeting short. You know what? I'm glad that the citizens are participating.
They need to, yeah.
But it's sad that it has gone this far before citizens have actually taken matters in their own hands.
So I was talking about Obamacare and premiums, and I saw a map. This map was on one of the Sunday news shows yesterday, and I believe it because it appeared to be legitimate, and I don't think someone wanted to Photoshop and just made it. But it looked to me, and actually, if you are friends with me, it's on my Facebook page, but roughly half of the states saw premium increases in Obamacare coverage rates, and Alabama was one of those, but about half of them showed decreases in premiums.
So, I remember seeing that. I'm going to try to Google it. Actually, I'll go out and look out on your Facebook and
yep.
See if I can pull it up.
And I thought it was interesting because, most everyone that I've talked to saw increases, but they clearly interviewed people, who saw decreases and feel like Obamacare is the best thing since sliced bread.
I really want to look that up. I want to put my eyes on it. Because what I believe is that the ones where it went down were liberal states, and the ones where it went up were Republican states.
Now we're on to something. So the editorial comment that was made as a comment on my Facebook page by one of my friends who is most definitely more Democratic than Republican made the comment that those are the states where the premiums went down are the states that accepted Medicare assistance or set up their own exchanges, I believe she said, and the states who saw premium increases are relying on the federal exchange, which I also heard is going to be reviewed again by the Supreme Court and may get shot down entirely.
I'm sorry, repeat that.
She felt like the states that saw premium decreases are the states who set up their own exchanges, and the states that saw premium increases are the states that are relying on the federal exchange.
Well, I was wrong when I said that I believed the liberal states had the lower premiums, because it looks like California, Oregon, Nevada, Colorado, Illinois, New York, and some of those liberal states showed higher premiums, so I guess I was wrong. Some of the lower premiums were Maine. That's a phone call. Maine.
That was me just checking to see if we could hear it.
Ohio, Indiana, Mississippi, Louisiana, and a couple of other, I believe, is Mississippi a Republican state? I believe it is.
Yes, right now it is.
So,
Georgia was the one they were worried was, possibly right on the borderline of Democratic and Republican.
And didn't the Republican
win? And then Louisiana's right around the corner from there, and who knows?
Didn't the Republican win in Georgia?
Yes. And they will probably win in Louisiana when it's all said and done.
Oh, you want to talk about Mary Landrieu and sponsoring the bill in the Senate to pass the Keystone Pipeline?
Sure.
How desperate do you have to be?
Well, you know, there's this huge debate that I've seen on the Keystone Pipeline. Wonderful president says it's not going to create any assistance to our gas or oil prices here in the United States. It's not going to move any of our oil. It's only going to move Canadian oil.
Well, he's also said that he's going to veto it.
Yes, and some of the pundits who were researching what he said he's incorrect. It's going to move oil from two or three states of ours.
All right.
Allegedly. I think it'll pass. Most of the people on the news show thinks it will pass. He will veto it, and then I guess it will come back to two-thirds majority. But, of course, I don't think anything's going to happen until the new Congress takes office.
So do you know... okay, so if the Democrats and Republicans can all of a sudden work together in the Senate because they got the big shellacking...
All of a sudden, yeah.
and the House has already passed all of these bills. Are we finally going to see who the one is who is divisive when Obama starts vetoing all of these bills that have to get passed now? Because, I mean, the Senate and the House are both Republican. Stuff's going to have to start passing now. So when we see all of these bills being vetoed on his desk, are we finally going to see who the divisive one is?
Yeah, no kidding. Well, folks, you still got about 5 minutes to call in and give us your opinion or set us straight. 256-737-9951. And that's going to disrupt my train of thought because I was going to comment more on that stuff.
Keystone Pipeline
stuff.
Go ahead.
Well, the only other note that I've got, which is way off base, is... there was a tornado in South Alabama overnight. Pike County got hit with an EF1.
I thought we were past tornado season.
Well, I think in South Alabama, you always have a better chance of severe weather when the what they call the warm sector of the storm. And we're not past tornado season. Alabama has a distinct spring season and a distinct fall season.
Yeah, but we're getting toward winter.
Yeah, you're not going to get... tornadoes when it's 38 degrees.
I mean, it's
degrees.
20 degrees at night.
But when it's 65, 70, 75, that's when you got to be worried.
Didn't the nice lady say that it was going to be in the 20s all the way down to the coast? I guess it would be a bad time to go to the beach.
Yeah, that would be after this storm system came through. But now by Thursday and Friday, I think it's supposed to be back up in the 50s.
Okay. So do you want to talk a little bit about just a blurb about Turkey's president claims that Muslims discovered America?
You can, because I was trying to figure out what I was going to say on Keystone, and I don't remember the... Oh, I do. Senate taking the new Congress coming in January. So if anything were to happen right now, or even in January, remember what's got to happen. These guys can pass it both in the House and the Senate. But the president can still veto it. And when that happens, the only way it becomes law is if two-thirds of both houses agree
right.
to override the veto.
Right.
And
you said that already?
Well, I'm saying it again because I think a lot of people out there skipped that chapter of history.
So were Vikings, Muslim? Because actually, Vikings actually did come to North America. They landed in Canada, Newfoundland, somewhere along there. And actually, there are settlements up in Canada that were Viking settlements.
Well, they're not here. Here we call them pilgrims.
So, actually, Columbus was the one who we give credit to discovering America.
Yes. In fact, he has a day named after him, and it's not Thanksgiving.
Right. President of Turkey is claiming that Muslims discovered America 314 years before.
Like what we're having for lunch next Thursday? Woohoo! There you go.
I kind of knew that would get your goose.
Turkey. Can we have some dressing with that?
In his memoirs, Christopher Columbus mentions the existence of a mosque atop a hill on the coast of Cuba, Erdogan claims. So that's why he seems to believe that in 1178, Muslims found America.
What?
Okay, so this goes right along with our lovely President
Obama.
Brought
to you by Hollywood. Sounds like something that Hollywood dreamed up.
Our lovely President Obama claiming that Muslims built America.
When does this movie debut?
Crazy. Obama's imagination, I guess. I don't know. Actually, Vikings did just cover North America.
We're about out of time, and I have to throw this out there because
I want to say something about a lady in. Oh gosh, we are out of time.
I wanted to talk about the Newsroom, which is an awesome program on HBO. It's an Aaron Sorkin show, and you need to watch it because it's really good stuff. That's all I'm going to say.
No, it's liberal. Don't watch it.
But I still love it.
So, are we done now?
I think we're done. You know,
yeah,
this show.
I thought you weren't kind of heavy enough to talk about.
We weren't.
Actually, I haven't really been following the news. I have been pretty desperately ill for the past few days, so I had to actually catch up yesterday and today. That was my makeup for not really knowing what was going on.
But glad you're doing a lot better. So you've been listening to This Week Live. We're, 3 weeks into the show now. And most of the shows that we have are available online, live95coleman.com. Go check it out and see what you've been missing.
Gosh, I enjoy doing this.
When you're ready to talk to us, 256-737-9951. We pay the bill. You need to use it. And we'll see you again next Monday. Bye-bye.
Bye, y'all.
I'm afraid of Americans. I'm afraid of the world.
You're listening to Live 95 WRJM LP Coleman.